It is the 26th of November, 1980, and Roberto Duran Samaniego stands naked in the middle of the ring. His arms sulk by his sides. He feels weak. His body has betrayed him, as he has betrayed himself. His eyes, the twin beacons of his demonic aura, search for the exit. Always defiant, tonight he bleeds compromise. It is like watching a Ferrari sputtering to the closest gas station. With 16 seconds remaining in the eighth round in the Louisiana Superdome, his mocking, face-pulling, showboating challenger, Sugar Ray Leonard, has affronted his dignity and stripped him of his macho. And so, he breaks the contract that he signed the day he stepped in the boxing ring, to punch till the end. Duran has always boxed like he cursed, in quick, immediate thrusts. Now, the roughest, toughest, most feared fighter in the world raises his left hand and walks away.
No quiero pelear con el payaso, says Duran.
I do not want to fight with this clown. He repeats the words, but a ringside broadcaster claims to hear him say, no más, the Spanish for no more. The phrase will live in sporting infamy. After a second, Leonard's brother Roger yells,
he quit on you, Ray!
Leonard runs over and jumps on the ring post. The fight is done. People would later dub the man a coward, a fake, a phony. They said laziness and gluttony had precipitated his downfall. Fame had accelerated it. The first part of Duran's career, his life, was over. Act two was about to begin. Even before I went to Panama, I knew one thing for sure about Roberto Duran. The man was not a quitter. I didn't understand the contradictions of the No Mas fight, but also didn't buy into the hype. When I told people that I was headed to his homeland, they joked about the infamous moment when he left the ring seven rounds early. Tell him no mas for me, they said. With a face that reminded some of Che Guevara, others of Charles Manson, Duran's feral stare never left me. His look was compelling, his image enigmatic, his fighting skills unsurpassed. In the ring, Duran came forward and intimidated. He didn't know any other way. Those who stood up to him paid the price in blood and hurt. Those who ran were pursued and hunted down. Sports writers devoured stories of his wild childhood, told of him swimming across bays with a bag of mangoes held in his mouth to feed his family. His eyes were dark coals of fire, and anything that he sneered at froze in terror. But who was this man? Was he really pure evil lodged in the body of a 135-pound prince, or was it all an act? Even when his ability to intimidate had waned, the Duran, Duran cheers still echoed around sold-out arenas. Even when he was only a quarter of his former self, a sad, overweight Elvis making his last call, he was still Duran. Watching those final years of futility, it became clear that legends never die. They just age. So when the thought of finding and telling the Duran story crept into my head, I couldn't resist. With the purpose of finding this man, I decided to leave my job, friends, and family and head to Panama City. I had a smattering of Spanish, a laptop, and some old Duran fights on tape. I didn't even know if he spoke English or how well. I was 6 years old on that November night in New Orleans in 1980. I wanted to know about the young Duran, the kid whose face came to be plastered all over Panama City, and how someone who had nothing became a symbol for hope in a third-world country that suffered every day. I wanted to see how the mere glimpse of Duran's smile could make a difference. Few people have the influence on a country as Duran does in Panama, and the only way I would understand it was to follow him there. The only way I could comprehend the strength, the character of this man was to eat patacones and empanadas with his people, sip coconut juice straight from the fruit, dance salsa, and listen to the music of Osvaldo Ayala, Los Rabanes, or Sandra y Sammy. I had to go to Guarare and the gyms in Chorrillo to let the legend seep into my blood amid the 100-degree heat. All his old managers, promoters, friends, and school teachers would have something to say, and I had to absorb it.